You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. I am rejoined by Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Well, let's figure out how we're going to be denied or approved, huh, for a mortgage.
Well, it's interesting the stress that people go through when they get ready to apply for a loan. Like, you know, some people know that they're in a great situation and that approval is going to be simple. There are other people that have a little bit of anxiety or a little bit of anticipation over wondering what that credit report's going to say. Frequent people are overconfident about the process.
Right, and then get surprised.
Yeah, or some people just don't understand how much it's changed in the last 10 years.
Hopefully, those that listen to the show know how much we push trying to get pre-approval. And that's still a good idea to do. I mean, you still need to come in, sit down with Doug, get pre-approved for your mortgage. He'll go over your credit scenario and see where you're at. And that is still always a good idea. But what we're talking about is once you've done that, there's mistakes that people just make. And it's pretty common. And we've got six of them that we're going to share. The first one is taking on additional debt. So you get pre-approved based on your current situation. So you come in, you see Doug, you throw down all your debt to income ratios, he goes through it all, you're approved. But then you decide, I'm going to go to Kohl's and I'm going to open up a credit card because they offer me 5% discount. I mean, how often does that happen, Doug?
I'm going to say it definitely happens, you know, probably at least 1 out of 10 people it happens. So if 10% of people are doing it, it's too much.
Right.
And I think most people out there know this stuff, but it still happens all the time with people.
It does. And you kind of get led for the savings. But then in the end, when you're in the middle of buying a home, this is what we're talking about, to not take on additional debt.
Well, and there are enough people out there. I mean, I'd say maybe 25% of our loans, or maybe even a third of the loans that any mortgage company does, people are right on the verge of whether they're going to qualify or not.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are not qualifying comfortably with all their debt. They are borrowing pretty much
You're
as much as they
max.
Can. Yeah, mm-hmm. More than what I would usually recommend.
Right.
So if that's the case, then the slightest little thing could throw it off. So it may be that you put all of your expenses on a certain credit card. And the month that we did the pre-approval, your balance is really low. And now all of a sudden you went out and you bought a few big things, or your car broke down and you had to put $1,500 or $2,000 repair on your card, and your minimum payment's gone up and now you don't qualify.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the credit report's good for 120 days. We don't have to pull a new credit report. But what we do pull is what they call a pre-closed credit report, where they can check right before closing. We have to do it within 10 days of closing. They check to see what the balances are. And if the balances have changed much, or late payments or anything shows up, now all of a sudden we have to pull a new report.
Which brings us to number two, negative items on credit. So you want to talk about that one?
Yeah, so negative items on credit. So from the point that you originally get pre-approved, something gets paid late. And some of the scenarios we see for these are surprising. And in most cases, it's some sort of negligence, or people are just busy.
Mm-hmm.
It's rarely, I mean, and sometimes it's just sloppiness. I mean, within the last year, I've had scenarios where, I mean, I had one guy that had the minimum payment on a credit card on auto pay. It was $25 a month. And the minimum payment goes up to $28 a month. He didn't recognize it and paid the $25 payment. And that $3 that was late, he ends up having a 30-day late payment on his credit during the process, and he was trying to refinance his house, and his loan couldn't close.
That's a shame.
Because of it.
Yeah.
Because he was somebody who was right on the edge, and when you get a late payment that's showing up, it's fresh and late, he dropped 100 points on his credit scores from one 30-day late payment.
That's what I was going to ask you, and that's a lot.
It is a lot because
for $3, right?
For
$3, that's what a bummer. That's a bummer. And paying attention to the details is a big deal too. So number three on the list is incorrect information or fraud. So giving, incorrect or withholding some information from your loan officer, whether it's intentional or not, it's not a great idea. It's never a good way to start your loan process. Doug, as a loan officer, can you add to this and how this affects that whole process?
Yeah, so let's start with what I'm going to say is a very, very small minority of cases, tiny amount of cases are fraud. Okay, so here's an easy example of fraud. So we went to buy something on Craigslist not too long ago, and the guy we were buying from said, "Oh, you're in the mortgage business. You know, I want to get a mortgage, and I have a villa that's on the lake out of Lake St. Louis, and I want to say, I hear that if I say I live in it, that I'll get a much better rate. So I'm going to change over all my utilities and everything to show that I live in that property so I can get a better rate." Okay, well, that's occupancy fraud, and mm-hmm. it's one of the most common types of fraud, and it seems minor for somebody to do, but there are so many ways for somebody to get caught doing that. It's right. just stupid. It's right. not absolutely not worth it.
And not worth the loan officer's license.
Right, certainly not worth the loan officer's license, but they have to know that there's a – if that ever comes up, mm-hmm. the loan officer or the lender is required by law now to file a suspicious activity report with the FBI.
Got it.
So it's part of the red flags rule and anti-money laundering act where they have to report those things.
Right.
So then when it comes to stuff that's not fraudulent, here's what a lot more common is just incorrect information that is given to the loan officer. So, okay, here's a pretty common one, Tammy, is somebody in our staff the other day pre-approved somebody. It wasn't somebody on my team, but one of the other loan officers pre-approved somebody, and they were pressured to do it over a weekend because they needed a pre-approval on a Sunday. So they do it from home without seeing all the financial documents of the person. They say they're a salaried employee making X amount of dollars. Well, go ahead and pre-approve them. They sign a contract. And then when they bring the documentation in, they were 1099. They weren't W-2.
Uh-oh. So it was 1099.
They were self-employed and had not been self-employed for 2 years.
So that blew it.
An undoable loan. They gave incorrect information.
Got it.
Frequently.
And that wasn't intentional. They didn't know the difference, possibly.
Probably didn't. Sometimes people do know the difference. Sometimes they give a very optimistic scenario. If they say they had their house got foreclosed on, my house got foreclosed on, I think it was about 6 or 7 years ago when it was 3 years ago. Or you had a bankruptcy and the time frames are different.
I try to block that stuff out too.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do. So, but it's pretty common that people need to just give the absolute facts.
It's just really
right
about
front.
Being honest, and there's no shame. Honestly, there's no shame in bringing all that information to the table.
Well, what it's like, Tammy, is when you catch a kid doing something, and they give you a little bit of the truth, but it's not the whole truth. So they give you a little bit, and then they'll give you a little bit more, and as you keep having to ask more questions, then more and more comes out, and eventually the truth comes out. Well, that's what it's like, because people will say they make a certain amount of money, but then after we start looking into it, that's with overtime, or that's with
that they did chop down the cherry tree kind of thing.
Right, exactly.
All right, so number four is another one that people really don't think about, and that's job changes. This one comes up quite a bit, and I've heard you just over the past couple of years just really talking about that, where an employment status, you know, when you go in and get pre-approved with Doug, you have a particular job, and then within the process, you either find another opportunity that's better than the one that you had when you came in, but then how does that affect the mortgage process?
It affects it a lot. I mean, okay. We just had somebody that changed jobs twice during the process.
Oy.
Yeah, it doesn't make it easy because of...
So explain why. Because in my mind, I'm thinking I'm getting a better job, I'm getting paid more. How does that affect?
So stability of income is really important when you're making a lending decision. Okay, so let's say somebody is all of a sudden has a new job where they're making a lot more money than they've ever made. Okay, well... Are they, is that a safe, secure job that they're going to be in forever? We don't know. We don't always know. So what's the best predictor for future behavior is past behavior.
Okay.
So when somebody, and they're, we want to know what's the explanation for why. Sometimes people are getting fired from a job, but sometimes it's a move. Like I had one the other day that it was a biochemist, and when they had it turns out they were making a move for the same amount of money, but the explanation was that the job they had were evening hours. It was second shift. So they're working until midnight or 1 in the morning, and to have an opportunity to move to a first shift job with the same amount of money, apparently they're hard to find.
Okay.
In these
okay.
labs. So it made sense. We had to delay closing by one day until they got the new pay stub in.
Got it. And so it's just a pay stub, possibly.
Yeah, some of those rules are going to get a little bit easier with mm-hmm. some of the upcoming changes.
Okay, well, good. So number five is appraisal issues, and I can only imagine some of the things that come back for you on this.
Yeah, so appraisal issues, mainly with appraisal issues, it either does not appraise for the full purchase price, okay, or on a refinance doesn't appraise for how much somebody thinks their house is worth,
mm-hmm.
and that's relatively common right now, or there's some project going on in the house that's not complete that they don't tell us about in advance or something that's a requirement. So let's say I have one right now that's a purchase loan, and I find out that the bathroom has been torn out and the seller made a deal with the buyer for them to go ahead and finish it, but they wanted to do it after closing. Well, they can't wait until after closing. It has to be done in advance because we have to assume that the buyer is never going to do it.
Right. It
all needs to be an operational condition because if the bank ends up having to own that home at some point, it needs to be in livable condition when it's loaned on.
Got it. All right. And number six, loan requirement changes.
Yeah, so loan requirement changes is not as common anymore as what it was 10 years ago when they were changing constantly, but it definitely still happens from time to time. So let's say, here's a common one is on an FHA loan, HUD will raise or lower the mortgage insurance premiums based on the performance rates. So you pre-approve somebody, they start looking for a house, and they may wait 3 or 4 months before they find a house. Well, by then, you can't reserve an FHA case number until they actually find a property. So by the time they find the property, well, now all of a sudden, HUD has changed the mortgage insurance premiums, and now they don't qualify. So that would be just one example.
Okay. All right. So how does one avoid actually being denied a mortgage?
So the way one avoids being denied a mortgage is by going through the Diamond approval process at Cornerstone Mortgage. And the Diamond approval, what that means is that instead of just a pre-approval, which is when a loan officer will give you, a pre-approval based on their estimation that you should qualify for the loan, our Diamond approval process will take someone beyond pre-approval where we go ahead and fully process your loan and actually underwrite your loan, where a real underwriter looks at it, signs off on it, and then we give you a loan commitment letter when you go out looking for property. So when you start making offers, instead of sending a pre-approval letter, you send a loan commitment, and you're going to get your offer accepted before someone else.
Yep.
Most of these things are not going to happen once you've been fully approved like that.
All right. Sounds good to me. So how do they get in contact with you?
All right. So here's the best way to get in contact with me. You can call me or text me at 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-DOUG. Or at any point, you can go to our website, smartwithyourmoney.com, and fill out the contact form on there and shoot us a message with the contact form and let us know your scenario. And I'd love to sit down and help you with your personal situation and make sure that you don't get denied for a mortgage or just that you get the best possible terms on the house you're trying to buy.
Sounds good.
All right. So coming up, we're going to be talking about the top tips on how to pay down credit card debt once you have it. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.